Do please be seated. And could you turn to page 546 in our Bibles? 546. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the psalmists. Thank you for David. Thank you that you inspired him to write this psalm. And thank you that you've been faithful through the years to keep it so that we can read it today. Enlighten our minds, warm our hearts, enable us to take your wonderful word more deeply into our hearts, so serving you more faithfully. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. First of all, I haven't been standing here for 3 years. Is it not amazing? Now, I would like to thank all of you who prayed for me. So many people. And I'm standing here because of your prayer. Because of the wonderful NHS, won't say a word against it. The doctors, the nurses, the medication, it is wonderful. Here I am again and rejoicing in the Lord. And it's wonderful that I've got a psalm to speak on. The psalms, when they first started, apparently, to be compiled, they were initially called praises. They were called praises, that was the very first thing. And then as different psalms were added, they called them prayers and praises, of course, in Hebrew. They speak to all conditions of life. They've been an inspiration and a blessing to millions and millions of people, and tremendous blessing for me. What I've done over the last 3 years, you wonder what I've been doing, I've been learning the Psalms. It is extraordinary. Initially, before there were theological colleges, the person coming to be ordained had to learn the Psalms and then go to the bishop and recite them. Is that amazing? Well, I think we've lost out a bit. Anyway, they do set a wonderful example for us because more often than not, they start with praise. Praising God for who he is, praising God for what he has done. In fact, the last 5 psalms are a tremendous crescendo of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his highest heavens. Let everything bless the Lord. Praise him for his wonderful acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise the Lord. Let everybody praise him. So, Psalm 8, here we are. Look at it on page 546. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, that's in capitals, notice. That's very good. That's why you've got your Bible open. The Lord is the name revealed to Moses. It's the name, it's the covenant name. Of course, you can go right back to the beginning in creation. It was the Lord God who created us. But he was revealed to Moses as his name, his covenant name. And then the Lord, that's in small letters, Adonai in Hebrew, means master. It means sovereign. That's his title. And that's why we call Jesus Lord, because he is our master. He's our sovereign King, Jesus. He's our wonderful Savior as well. How majestic. Majestic, we call the Queen Her Majesty, because the Lord is God. And his name, it so often comes in the Psalms, doesn't it? The name. It's who God is. He's all-powerful. He knows everything from beginning to end. He loves all that he has made. Psalm 145. Twice it says that. He's faithful in all to fulfill all his promises. Every promise that we can find in his covenant, and I prefer the words covenant to testament here, every promise in the Bible, he will fulfill. He's not capricious. He's absolutely steadfast and true. He will do it. How majestic is your name in all the world. Gerard Manley Hopkins, so people who like poetry, the world is charged with the grandeur of God. You set your glory above the heavens. The psalmist was aware that this world is not everything. There's a dimension beyond it. Even though you look up to the skies, there's a dimension above it, which we call heaven. And I have a commentary on this by somebody who's a Hebrew scholar, and he says this verse could be translated, "Your praises are sung above the heavens." Heaven is the place of glory. It's the place of praise. Those people surrounding the throne, what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Tremendous. What's going on in heaven? It's continuous praise. Day and night, it says there. Of course, in heaven, there isn't day and night. What it means is there's continuous praise all the time. And then, think of Jesus at his birth. Those shepherds at night. What was revealed to them? The heavenly host singing, "Glory to God in the highest." And thank you, Kathy, for that wonderful anthem. Here it is. I'm trying not to hide it. "Glory to God in the highest." One of the churches where I was a vicar, over the chancel, every time I was leading worship, "Glory to God in the highest" reminded me who God is. He's wonderful. He's so great. Do we find it difficult to praise God? We're English, aren't we? That's the problem. We're British. Not only English. Some of us are Welsh. Somebody sitting there. But we're tied in, aren't we? I grew up in Africa, and I must say that the Africans had a wonderful freedom. And very often, the ones who had less material possessions, they were able to praise God far more than me with all my possessions. Don't they tie us down? Praise is tremendous. There were two books, do you remember, I think it was the 60s and 70s, "Power in Praise" and "From Prison to Praise." There is nothing, but nothing like praising the Lord. There is tremendous power. It is liberating. It prepares us down here for heaven. And if we're not very good at praising the Lord down here, we're going to have trouble up there in heaven. Because the Lord wants us to be a people who are praising him. Praise always brings glory to God. It's interesting, verse 2, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained," what? Praise. Infants and human and babies, the most vulnerable, we're the people, the weakest. But our praise is immensely powerful. It overcomes the enemy. What is our enemy? Those of us who are a little bit older, the world, the flesh and the devil, the baptism service. I don't think it's ever used any longer, but the world and the flesh and the devil. Praise delivers us from our selfishness. You can't praise God without and be selfish. It's impossible. Praise informs an unbelieving world. Take Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, and the people said, "We hear these people speaking in our tongues," and what are they speaking? The wonders of God. We can't work up praise. We can't work it up in a human way. It's impossible. It is the Spirit of God who will enable us to praise. We need to go back to the Lord. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can praise you as we should. You're worthy of great praise. Yes, praise defeats the devil. The devil is active. Let's not kid ourselves about that. He's very active. And the devil hates it when we are praising God. So let's be filled with the Spirit, giving him praise and thanksgiving. I could go on for quite a long time, but I have a few more minutes. Verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place. He seems to be at night, doesn't he? He's gone outside and he's looked up at the heavens. Our problem down here at the moment in Crowborough is light pollution. In Africa, where I was born and brought up, there was no light pollution. And when you went out at night on a clear night, it was amazing to see the number of stars. Somebody has worked out this. The number of stars are greater than all the sand, the grains of sand on the seashore. There are billions of stars. And Psalm 147, it's already been quoted, you probably didn't notice, but I certainly did. He determines the number of stars, the Lord. He calls each by name. Great is his power. His understanding has no limit. And then what does the psalmist say? The Lord sustains the humble. As we see the greatness of God and acknowledge it, what is our reaction? It should be humility, bowing ourselves down before the Lord. Humility. Difficult, isn't it? It's the greatest virtue. Humility, I've spoken on it in the past. Not like that bishop in the 19th century. He had an ordinand who came to see him, and he said to the ordinand, look, the most important thing about your life when you're ordained is humility. And the ordinand apparently said to him, and the bishop said to him, well, get hold of my book, which is the best way, and read it. That's wrong, isn't it? It's not to do with humility like that. Uriah Heep. But true humility, humility in the spirit, there is no greater virtue, I think. And it can be spelled L-O-V-E. James and Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will raise you up. So, verse 4, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man? Yes, this is the NIV here, definitely my... They've chosen, I think, actually, do you see at the bottom of the page? Now, my theological principal said to me, he was a Hebrew scholar, he said to me, the best translation is the son of man. I don't know why they fiddled with the text. It's much better, the son of man. What is man that you're mindful of him? Remember him, the son of man. Now, of course, that reminds us immediately of the Lord Jesus. He called himself the son of man. We've got it here. It's all actually written up. We got it on our things that we put in the Bible. I have this in my Bible all the time. The Son of Man, what did Jesus say? He came not to be served, but to serve. That was his humility. He humbled himself. He humbled himself even unto death on the cross. Sin is our problem, isn't it? Our selfishness. We don't love God. In fact, in the Bible, sin is called rebellion. But Jesus on that cross carried our sin. It's an empty cross because he's no longer on it, but he carried our sin. And when we believe in him, we can be forgiven. Our sins are taken. There is peace. That's our New Testament reading, Colossians. We have peace with God. Billy Graham wrote a book, Peace with God. Peace with God because of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Yes, for a short time he came to this earth, he visited us, that's another translation of the word care, he was made slightly lower than the heavenly beings while he lived on earth. And then when he rose again, because it's an empty cross, he is alive forevermore. Jesus is crowned with glory and honor, King Jesus. And then verses 6, 7, and 8. Actually, those verses refer to creation, and it's creation before sin came into the world. Yes, we are given dominion over all creation. We are stewards. We're not meant to lord it everything. We care for creation. And as Steve has already prayed, we're not very good about it, and we can see in what's going on in the world. But that's what this arts festival is all about. Some people, God speaks through his word, many people through his word. As we read it, we listen to what God is saying. But for a lot of people, it's symbols like the cross, but very often it's a picture. And that's wonderful. That's why we're all there. Do please go again, look at the words, but look at those pictures. And God will speak to you. That's the wonderful thing about the gifts that God has given us. He is the creator. We are made in his image, and we can create under him. And when we respond to his call, as he speaks to us, our hearts are filled with joy as we praise Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. And so we come to the last verse. The psalmist can't but say it again, can he? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Notice, our Lord. We do this together with this tremendous power when we come together to praise the Lord. Do you come here on a Sunday morning to praise the Lord, to worship him? Surely that's what we're all about, praising the Lord. There's a thing called the Westminster Confession, some of you know it. Some Christians got together and said, what's this life all about? What's the chief end of man? And they wrote these words. The chief end of man is to what? Glorify God and fully enjoy him forever. Praising the Lord, you can't do it without being full of joy. It's the joy of the Lord is our strength. There is tremendous power in praise. Are you getting the message? Praise, the praise of God, always glorifies God. And that's what our purpose is. That's what my purpose is. Is it your purpose? To bring glory to God, who is so wonderful, the Lord Jesus, who is our King. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, how great you are. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We thank you so much for revealing yourself, so especially through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We praise you. Help us, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to praise you more, that our lives may be set free to praise you, so that when we get to heaven, and that's a wonderful thing in front of us, when we get to heaven, we will praise you continually with all those surrounding your throne and all the others who've believed in you over hundreds and thousands of years. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus and through his powerful and wonderful, victorious name. Amen.